Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby for the next, what is it, Scrabe? 2.5, 3 hours today? I know we're ahead of Monday Night Football. Two straight up.
Yes.
Okay, we got Monday Night Football coming up.
We have a jam-packed show.
4 o'clock, and we got to get right to it because there's obviously a lot going on. The news of the day, I'm sure you're all well aware of by now, Mike Schilt has retired from managing. That means the Padres are looking for a manager. And that means, Tony, that the Elo family household income has taken a big hit. That's why we're sad. Kylie's upset. She's not going to get as nice of treats. My wife is obviously upset. Her Nordstrom shopping budget has taken a big hit. And for those of you who follow the show, you know that we joke often that every time Mike Schilt does something, and I tend to agree with it, people think I'm on the Mike Schilt payroll. So if I were on the Mike Schilt payroll, Tony,
this would be a sad day for you.
I just said it's a sad day. That's it, man. That ship has now sailed. I'm going to have to find another way to make extra income. But in all seriousness, I don't think anyone saw this coming, Tony. No. When the announcement came this morning, it had to be pretty much shocking to just about anybody who saw it or read it or heard about it.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'd mind me sharing. I actually spoke with him last night about it, and it sounded like a man that was he was burnt.
He was worn out.
He was worn
out.
Just
talking last night. Yeah,
and I think the letter kind of spoke to some of his feelings as the season got down towards the end. I'll share this. After the game 3 loss,
the one that
ended it,
them.
Right?
Yeah.
Myself, Jesse, and my wife were walking back from grabbing a bite to eat and saw Mike. He didn't see us, but we saw him, and he looked like a zombie. I mean, he looked zapped, you know? And I think we were like right up on him when he actually realized, you know, who it was before he kind of stopped and kind of snapped it to it and did his thing before walking off. But outside of me knowing last night, 100% surprise. Didn't see that coming at all.
The question is, did the Padre organization see it coming at all? Did they have any hint of this? A.J. Preller, released his statement today, wishing Mike Schilt the best. A.J. will have a press conference tomorrow. So, we can, guess all we want as to, what he thought, what he knew. But he'll address all that tomorrow. It's at 10 a.m. We're going to have it here on 97.3 The Fan. So you'll be able to hear A.J. tomorrow. Obviously, the low-hanging fruit here is that, Bob Melvin left because he and A.J. Preller didn't see eye to eye. So it must be true then that Mike Schilt is actually leaving because he and A.J. Preller didn't see eye to eye. I can't
I don't think
say that's
accurate.
Absolutely not true 100%. I'm not there behind the scenes. But it doesn't seem to be the real answer here, Tony. And you talked to him last night, reading his statement today. That was Mike Schilt talking. You could hear his words.
100%.
And this is a guy, in my mind, that, really does take everything to the hilt, and you can only do that to yourself for so long.
By all accounts, this has nothing to do with AJ.
Right.
I mean, he is probably, based on what we know about the Bo Mel situation, based on what we know about the others before, this seems to have been his best, you know, relationship between coach and himself. I mean, we hadn't heard no whispers of like we heard in past. So I think you take that as a nod that this was truly Mike saying, I'm done. And listen, I think there's a lot probably to unpack with that, you know, another long season. You know, the Padres cut payroll, still got to the payroll, to the playoff, disappointing end nonetheless. And, you know, he's been in baseball for a long, long time. Maybe he just got to the point where it was less about the game and more about taking care of himself a little bit.
Yeah, I understand.
Because those who were around Mike, this wasn't a guy who, like, didn't wear his emotion on his sleeve. Like, after every game, he'd sit down there in front of that press conference, and it was almost like he had played 9 innings of baseball himself.
Yeah.
After every game.
Yeah. Win or lose.
Win or lose.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Tony. I think this is a Mike Shildt decision. I think people are going to say what they want to say. They're going to infer whatever they want to infer. But I don't see that being the case here. Don't forget, anyway, Mike Shildt, he's been manager of the Padres for 2 years. He's been in the game for over 30 years.
Right.
He's been wearing these wins and losses on his sleeve, in his heart, in his mind for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing he said that stood out to me, because I agree with Mike Shildt, he is a guy that not only cares what people think and he's a people pleaser. Believe it or not, Mike Shildt is a people pleaser. There are people like that out there that really want everyone else around them to be happy so that they can be content. And he wanted his players to be happy. He wanted, you know, everybody to understand what things were going on. He would love the front office to be happy. He wanted all the fans to be happy if he could, the media if he could. And he finally wrote in his, you know, statement today, maybe it's time I try to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. I think a lot of people who are people pleasers eventually get to that point. You know, so why can't, okay, here's a better question maybe, Tony. Why can't we accept it at face value? Because we're in this day and age now where there has to be something at work behind the scenes.
That's a great question.
You know?
I don't know.
We can't just listen to him and go,
I have an answer.
Hey, this is too bad that Mike Shildt retired today. Most people are going to say, you guys are just playing the company line. Actually, it's my final check from Mike Shildt to say this. But, you know.
What'd you got? What'd you say? You know why?
I think I understand why people are asking this, because he has a talented team that could seemingly go to the playoffs again and again.
Here's the other thing.
So that's why I think people are like, why would you give up this?
Here's the other thing that you need to think about. He's walking away from 2 years of a deal with money on it.
That also was surprising to me. Like, he's not getting that money,
right? So for those who think that, you know, the Padres forced him out, he'd have no incentive to give up that money, ultimately, just to walk away, right?
Even if he was forced out, then go ahead and be forced out.
So you got to get
some money. Right. Yeah. Why walk away from it?
Yeah. No. This seems like he is. He's just fried at this point. And so,
Tessa says he said it took a severe toll on him mentally, physically, and emotionally. Can't get any more clear than that.
I think that's pretty straight to the point.
Believe me, I'm a guy who wants a reason. I'm a guy who wants a conspiracy. I'm a guy who wants that. And I understand why people are thinking that there's something else afoot. From all of the information I've received from the people in the know, doesn't seem like there's anything afoot. So, and especially since he's leaving money on the table.
I mean, that's the way it read, you know, when Kevin was reporting it. He's walking away from 2 years on a deal that he still had.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, walking away means you're leaving it there.
What did Bob Melvin say? He didn't want... I think he said he didn't want to interview with the Giants job because he wanted to know that he was like a good candidate, because there's only 30 managerial jobs out there. And he said, I might not find my way back to a managerial job again. So,
well, speaking of that, One thing you have to, I think everybody has to keep open-minded about. And I'll go ahead. Yeah, he said, uh-oh, because Julio Rodriguez just made it 3-0 in the top of the first inning with a hanging curveball that he shot
that
into
split's
the...
split's not splitting like it was against the Yankees.
I guess it was a hanging splitter, whatever it was from the rookie Savage. Julio got it and cleaned it out down the left field line. So right, just like that, 3-0 Seattle as the AL playoff game is underway. But let's keep this in mind. Retired. Retired means he's retired from baseball from now, for now. If he were to, you know, rest for a year, get his thoughts and everything back together, and if somewhere down the road Mike Schilt got back into the game, still a relatively young man, then it's going to really be loud as to, well, then why did he leave here in the first place? Yeah. But understand that if he does come back down the road, and I have no idea what's, you know, I don't even think he knows exactly where this all play out, but if he did come back down the road, it doesn't necessarily mean that he didn't want to retire this time.
Listen, based on my conversation with him, I don't think he wants to manage a game. I think things can change.
I mean, absolutely. It has happened before.
Absolutely. We've seen that. We've seen guys change their minds often. And at that point, yes, it would be loud. But I think we're a long, long way from that being a real thing.
All right. Well, that is obviously, you know, pretty astounding news to open up our week here as San Diego sports fans. Mike Schilt is retiring. So what does this mean? Well, it means the Padres don't have a manager right now is what it ultimately means.
They're one of many jobs available
at this point.
And now
they get lumped, lopped in with the rest of the people who are looking for a manager. So what are the Padres going to do? Who are the candidates? Whose names are going to be popping up and whose names have popped up? We'll get into some of that
Tony
as we continue
Gwynn
our conversation.
Name?
That's a negative.
If he we'll
explore this, Chris.
If he leaves, if he leaves, you better take me with him as a bench coach because I'm not staying here with you. I know that.
Well, so then I better be the pitching coach.
You know, I was going to say equipment guy, but Tony Patrick is pretty good. So
yeah, I'm not going to take their job's too hard.
That job's not open. Gwynn and Chris, though, we are open for business on a Monday. Lot to get done, short amount of time. We will stick with more Mike Schilt retirement coverage when Gwynn and Chris continues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin, extremely surprising. Schilt said in his retirement letter that the season took a toll on him mentally, physically, and emotionally. He told me in a text that he's happy with his decision, but unless he's dealing with a serious health issue, it's difficult to imagine him retiring of his own volition. Schilt is 57. He loves managing all season long. He talked about his love for managing this Padres team. Now, the X factor here is general manager A.J. Preller, who has 1 year left on his contract. Does Preller want an extension? Do the Padres want to sign him to an extension? There are a lot of unanswered questions here. And now, with the Padres' job open, there are eight teams, Kevin, eight, looking for managers.
Yowzers. Eight of them.
That's what you took from that clip?
Let me ask you a question, Chris. What do you think...
Who was that? It was Ken Rosenthal,
right?
What do you think, right?
Ken was insinuating? Do you think he was insinuating?
Oh, yes.
Something?
He's trying to stir something up.
What do you think he was stirring up?
He's trying to stir up the fact that A.J. Preller was the reason that the Mike Schilt left. That's what he's trying to definitely stir up. He says he can't imagine why Mike Schilt would give up this job, even though he said he was frustrated or he was tired. He just said he couldn't imagine it. So to me, it's typical Ken Rosenthal crap I don't listen to.
I took it differently. I took it as, because he said that, and then he followed that with saying that AJ Preller had 1 year left on his deal. Does he want an extension? Do they want to extend him? I thought maybe he was talking about the Padres or organization may
be choosing between AJ and a manager.
No, or may have just decided to move in a different direction. I don't know. I didn't quite get that he was pointing out, but maybe that's what he was doing.
I with Chris 100%. It seems like Ken Rosenthal likes to say things to stoke the fire,
and he usually doesn't have an answer.
Yeah,
we already know when it comes to the Padres, he's full of crap.
And
so this is where I'm going to stay on Ken Rosenthal.
Until further notice, he didn't that say people that I've talked to within the organization. I mean,
he said he talked to Mike. He said that he was happy.
He got a text.
He was happy that he Mike. With his decision.
Yes,
but he couldn't imagine
and then he speculated
that.
Yeah,
he couldn't imagine that Mike Schilt would be walking away from
point
that.
Taken. I see.
I can't imagine that this is on his own.
Remember the Sinister Sling article?
Come on. Come on, Rosenthal.
The Sinister
Sling. When he put the country and blamed it on Manny Machado, he put Dave Roberts' life in danger.
Let me go on record as saying, this is the Gwynn and Chris show in San Diego, California. Let me go on record as saying, I can't imagine why Fox Television wants to keep employing this loser. There.
Yeah,
I don't have anything behind
it. You set it up, Chris.
I have nothing behind it. I have nothing to, I have nothing to support that claim. but why do I need
to?
We took a
right turn that I enjoyed.
I don't even know where to go from there.
sorry, Tony. I didn't mean to throw everything off.
It's all good. So it begins, right? I mean, 8 positions available.
In baseball.
Can you name them? Angels, Padres, Giants.
I can't name them.
I can't name them either. That's 3.
Twins.
Yeah.
Twins are on the list. You said Angels.
I said Angels. That's 4.
Possibly the Yankees, but not yet.
Nope, they're not on there yet.
This is
Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
5.
This is embarrassing.
Sorry, I'm not worried about filling their jobs. Here are the lists: the Rockies, the Nats, the Twins, the Angels, the Orioles, the Braves. Giants are the lone team to finish with a 500 record. Of course, Schilt and the Padres were the only one to finish with a winning record of among teams that are looking for a new manager. And speaking of that, I'm sure everybody wants our guess, and I think guess is the proper word at this point, Tony. Nobody knows this for sure. I don't even think the Padres at this point really know what direction they're going to go. But there's a lot of options.
What kind of guy do they need now that
what kind of guy?
Yeah, because
somebody who's going to get in there and win a whole bunch of games and be the World Series champ.
That's really all they need.
That's all they need. Out of all, I'm sorry to say, but I don't want to hear an announcement of a Jace Tingler type manager where we're not really sure of anything before. We've never heard of him. He's never been a bench coach.
So you want a manager with experience, that you have to take Albert Pujols off that list. He's not on there.
I have seen a lot of fans like Albert Pujols for that.
Who is that? Gosh, who would that manager be?
Somebody who's been around for a long time and won a bunch of championships and knows how to get it done? I don't know. Bochy, but I don't know. Oh, did that name slip out?
I don't.
What do you mean? I mean, he's out there. His name has to come to everybody's mind. He's won 4 World Series.
I just know
he's
everybody else is thinking it.
Sure they are.
All right, so I have to ask the question.
Let's let that cat out of the bag.
Did Springer just go dinger again?
Would you want to have Bochy, return and make it happen here? He's done 3 in San Francisco, 1 in Texas. I'll be perfectly full circle to have Bochy come home and ride off in the sunset in one last parade.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
That would really be something, but I would say I doubt it.
You say no.
I doubt it. I just, and I don't have a great reason for it other than it doesn't sound like a perfect mixture to me.
Okay.
And we're getting Matt Williams on the chat.
Matt Williams?
Williams. Tatis Sr. for hitting coach. That might work, actually. If we need Fernando to be locked in all year. And it seems like whenever he talks to his dad, he ends up getting locked in.
I don't have any preferences. I just want to see whoever comes in have the same type of connection seemingly we've had the last couple of years between, you know, the manager in front office.
And I'll tell you the.
I just want to see the team win. That's
of course. I'll tell you the name that checks at least two boxes in my mind, and I don't know how many more boxes need to be checked.
Okay.
But I think one of the boxes you want to check is somebody that gets along with, understands how, and enjoys working with AJ Preller. That's to me is an absolute must. I don't think you can have oil and water mixture. And I believe when Mike Schilt was hired and came in as an assistant or, you know, special assistant, he got to work with AJ. AJ got him. He got AJ. Thought it was a pretty seamless transition. The other guy, I think, is somebody with experience, I think, would be preferable. So the guy that checks both of those boxes is Scott Servais,
who's in the organization.
Who's in the organization as a special assistant. It would be kind of similar. And he's also had a pretty good run as a manager. Just like Schilt, I think Servais was a manager of the year once, if not, you know, if he didn't win it, he was close with the Mariners. So that's a name, to me, that checks a couple boxes. I don't like the names of Rocco Baldelli and Brandon Hyde and David Ross. I think there are other recycled managers from other organizations. Sometimes those guys on their second try get it right, get it better, but I'm not a fan of that. And then you're looking at, you know, keeping it very consistent, which I think is something that would appeal to the Padres. And Ruben Niebla would slide right in there beautifully. He's going to be considered probably by some other teams. You don't want to lose this guy in any way.
Yeah.
And you've got somebody, your bullpen guy can jump right in there. And
Ben Fritz, you talking?
Yeah, Fritz and be your pitching coach. And in a lot of ways, you wouldn't miss a beat. You just go right on, hopefully, with Ruben. So those are some of the different directions that I'm looking at.
Do the Padres need... Well, first off, I'm just going to ask this question because I can't handle the chat anymore. Tony, when you are the manager, are you going to still do the show?
Well, you got Doug Gottlieb, who's a...
he's a coach, too.
Coach of Milwaukee basketball and has his national radio show. So there is a precedence for it, Tony.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. That means he's thinking about taking the job.
That's what I'm pressing a little bit. Yeah. Wouldn't you like about the job, Tony?
I want to be with my family.
Ah.
Ultimately.
So what you're saying is you have to give up your family when you become a manager.
Yes, basically. Basically.
Do they need... I'm just asking questions. Do they need someone who's going to be a rule with an iron fist?
Does anybody have anybody like that in baseball, in any sport?
I don't know.
Who does that anymore?
Right.
Bobby Knight is that a passed on.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think that's a thing.
Earl Weaver, not alive. Sparky, no.
Not alive, he says.
No. I don't believe that's going to be the way anyone goes any longer. Iron fist
I don't think so
idea.
It makes this offseason even more intriguing.
I have a...
Yes.
I mean,
that,
right?
That
I mean,
was an understatement, right?
I mean, this is kind of like after the 23 season?
Oh, when Bob Melvin... Yeah, when he left the team.
He was like, he was here, and then he wasn't here, and then we were looking for a manager, and then, boom, it was Mike Schilt, and then we kind of hit the ground running. It'll be interesting, man. There's a lot of... There's 8 openings... A lot of candidates. You didn't mention in terms of guys who've been out, experienced Bud Black. You didn't mention...
I didn't.
Bud Black. That's another one out there.
That always intrigues me, but he's already been here, right?
You've seen some of the newer names. I saw Nick Hutley was a candidate for the Giant job. Is that something of interest?
Has Padre ties?
There's a lot out there.
I've heard David Ross, too.
David Ross, another one.
I mentioned him along with Baldelli and Hyde as
I
guys that have been elsewhere that I'm not fond of bringing here.
I know we're over, but I'm going to read this tweet from a great Scrabinator, The Hawk. Matt, I know you know this, but the official story is never the official story. I think the Padre fans who have sold out Petco over and over again deserve some transparency, and the organization needs some stability. This is Preller's eighth managerial choice, ? I mean, come on. And they were asking a question. I calculate
when
four.
When in doubt, times it by two.
I know. I calculate four managers, which is a lot of managers for one general manager.
It is, but it isn't. I mean, listen, I think Padres, in terms of that, it doesn't. That's the part where we start to go cattywampus, as Chris was saying, right? Like, it doesn't have to be that they are trying to deceive. Why does everything have to be in a deceitful?
Because we live in 2025.
What are they getting out of lying about it?
Because we live in 2025, and every narrative is carefully constructed.
But I'm saying, honestly, like, let's take that at its face. What are the Padres gaining by lying about it?
Less questions about the...
Because the questions are going to stop? Nobody's going to ask?
Good point.
I think if there is a cover-up here...
Right.
Okay. If there is a cover-up here, what you would want to maybe cover all that up just so that you're not giving the appearance that there's cracks in the organization.
Yeah, there's chaos within.
There's some chaos. So if one guy didn't like another guy, and another guy didn't like this guy, and that guy didn't like that guy, and that was really true, and then that came out, then all of a sudden we're looking like the Miami Dolphins. So that I could understand why, as you said, why would they lie? That is why, but I don't think they're lying, having said that.
Okay.
Let's get to break. Where are we going next? I know we changed.
I have more digging to do on the other side.
Okay.
Now, I have one other name, and then we can move on to some of the other stuff.
Yeah, because, by the way, San Diego State had a very nice weekend,
they did.
Must say.
Yes,
the Aztecs or the Masters are doing good things when bigger stories happen.
I know, right?
They've done it their entire existence.
Right?
So,
we'll get into some Aztec talk, too, especially the upsetting Aztec talk, which is somehow... Our basketball team is not in the top 25.
No, the rankings came out and
makes
they
no
forgot
sense.
To include us.
Yes, it makes no sense. Morgan and Chris on the other side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back in to Gwen and Chris 238 on a Monday. The news came down about 5.5 hours ago. Mike Schilt retiring as manager of the Padres. We have more to say about that in this segment. But before we get to that, let's update you on the baseball. We last checked in with you. Julio Rodriguez had hit a first inning 3-run homer to give the Mariners an early lead. But the Blue Jays, bottom of the first. Springer, not a dinger, but a double. And then he came around on an error. And with two outs, Alejandro Kirk, the pride of Tijuana. Just below the border, man, Alejandro's had a nice career. Came up with a two-out single. So, 3-2 Mariners. They're going to the bottom of the second inning. The rookie, Treya Savage, pitching for Toronto. Despite giving up the home run, Tony's already struck out four. And Logan Gilbert, pitching for Seattle. The Mariners won the first game last night, 3-1. The big dumper, I thought, kind of turned that whole game around with that home run in the sixth inning, and Seattle got the 1-0 series lead tonight. The Dodgers and Brewers in Milwaukee with Snell v. Bullpen.
Ashby, I believe, is
well,
starting.
Well, Ashby's starting, but it's bullpen for the Brew Crew. That's at 5 o'clock. There's also Monday Night Football ahead. The Buffalo Bills and the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, there's two games tonight. We also have Chicago and Washington. The Tennessee Titans aren't waiting around. They have fired their coach, Brian Callahan.
There you go.
Just six games into the season. I think this is very delicious for the Titans and their fans. First game after Callahan will be this weekend with Mike Vrabel, whom they unceremoniously fired, bringing his 4-2 Patriots to town.
Glad to be back here,
yeah,
guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you letting me go. I'm doing quite well, thank you.
All right, we ventured far away from it, so before I lose the thought, I want to go back to something you said about the Blue Jay game.
Yeah.
The first game, Polanco with another big knock. He seems to be in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, man, that Polanco guy is really good, isn't he?
You know, it's funny. He was 2-for-17 coming into the game. His only two hits, though, were the home runs by Skubal.
Right.
So people thought he was going crazy in the playoffs.
Well, I mean,
he seems to be having some big moments.
He did walk it off in game five.
He's had some big moments.
This Polanco guy is good.
And I never said he was bad. I said I wouldn't trade him for a rise.
You're trying to change the narrative, buddy.
I went back. I went back to listen to see if how off base I was.
How off base were you?
I was a little off base. Chris basically said he's not aware of Jorge Polanco because he is in a National League only fantasy baseball league, so he hasn't been paying attention to the AL.
That's fair.
And then he pulled up the stats and he said, and this guy's a terrible player.
That sounds like verbatim.
And it sounds to me like here we are on October 13th, 2025, the first time I've ever just been flat out wrong.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not. It's just funny that this year, poor Chris has gone out on the limb for some of these things, and
pretty
they
much,
have all come back to bite you.
Well, pretty much all of it has to do with defending Arise.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah.
I mean, if I defend Arise, then the comparison I'm using,
it just goes off,
goes awry. So
goes awry.
Yeah. So that's why my first off-season bit of business for the Padres was to move on from Luis Arise, not because of him, but to save
get
me.
Everybody off your
just
back.
To save me. Yeah. So.
Can we talk about the Aztecs real quick?
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. I watched the game. I watched them all. Saturday night, I was really, they're favored by 7.5. All three of us picked Nevada because none of us believed the Aztecs on the road.
Shame on us.
Could win like that. And my goodness, punt return touchdown. Pick six by the same guy who had one earlier this season, Chris Johnson.
Had the 90-yard pick
six,
right?
He had a 91 earlier. He's got to be starting to consider, this is how you make All-American. You start returning interceptions like this. And then they got the 14, but that was only the beginning of their domination.
No, yeah.
Because after that, they just went up and down the field.
All game long.
It was
a balanced attack, too.
They're running again. They're getting 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing. Denegal has turned into, all of a sudden, a really dangerous-looking quarterback. And I give the coaching staff a lot of credit with him because I didn't see that in him the first game or two. And then defensively, they give up nothing. It was 44-0 into the fourth quarter. Come on. How often do the Aztecs beat anybody like that on the road?
That's like the second consecutive game where it's been over before.
Yeah.
It needed to be.
They won four in a row, three of the wins. I mean, they beat Cal 34-0.
Yeah.
They almost had this one another shutout. They blew out Colorado State. And now they get a week off before they go to Fresno. And I'm sure there'll be some Aztec fans who say, well, all right, show me now against Fresno. Okay, well, we'll see. Fresno State lost their game this weekend.
They haven't just proven it. They have passed with flying colors each of the last two times
so
we've
far,
asked them
so
to
good.
Prove it.
Yeah, I for the first time, and I stopped myself in my tracks. But for the first time today, I ran away with myself.
Which would you run away with yourself to?
What if they go 12-1 and everybody loses a game and they get to sneak into the playoffs? Yeah, that's where I ran away to.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's where I ran away to.
I mean, is that a thing?
Of course it is. The best.
Yeah, yeah.
The highest ranked team in the other conferences gets in the playoff.
True, true.
Right now, you've got certainly the Aztecs looking okay in the Mountain West. Now, there's other teams. I know Memphis. I think Tulane has done well. Navy is actually, you know, some teams in those other conferences. So,
yeah.
You know, that'll, you know, muddy up that water. But it's a long season, right? Two more months, a lot of things can happen. And if the Aztecs just keep blowing people out, you'd have to. All right, so then
you'd
I
have
stopped.
To start considering it.
Yeah, but then I stopped because I did. That would be too good to be true, wouldn't it?
Hey, you know when we said that last
2 years ago when the men's basketball team went to the finals?
That's exactly right.
I know. So I started thinking.
It's like,
about
there's no
that.
Way this could happen, right?
It can't possibly. All right. It never happens to us.
Let me ask the question: if the Aztecs football team gets a spot in the college football playoffs,
should we be doing this?
No, hold on.
I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, will we be able to get a crowd at Snapdragon Stadium?
That's not what I'm saying.
To welcome them back.
I'm just saying, should we even be going down this path?
No. We're being idiotic.
I just want to know if you guys
absolute idiots here
would like to see the Aztecs football team go and be in the college football playoff, but get beat like crazy, like North Carolina beat the basketball team last year in the playing game.
That is a recruiting boom right there. Yes.
Even if they lose like 75-0,
right. I'm not entertaining this right now.
The whole thing is just ludicrous.
I'm not doing it.
I gotta say, whatever Sean Lewis did the week where he went out and gave away tickets to flag football kids, it has turned around since then.
They are, I mean, they're dominating right now, so let's hope they can keep it up. They have a.
He's been, listen, one thing I can say about Coach Sean Lewis is that he's been pretty steady.
Yes, he's even keel about it
the
all.
From the very get-go.
He said, we're better than this. We're going to show you we're better than this.
Yep.
But now that they are showing it, he's not running around, you know, popping off.
Nope.
He's just saying, hey, we got to prove it again next game. Yep. We got to prove it again next game. Sean Lewis has been really good. That's for sure. And then real quick on the basketball team. They did put out the AP rankings
you
today.
Know, when you were saying this the other day, as you were in my mind, I was like,
he's going to be right.
It's like, you know what? I think we have turned a corner. I no longer need to expect that it's going to be the way it turned out today.
You know, it would be nice if somebody on a national level pointed that out, but they won't. So we'll point it out. If you're not in a major conference, they're not going to consider you unless your name is Gonzaga. Gonzaga is the only one.
Yeah.
And if you look at the top 25 preseason basketball, every team in it is from a major conference except for Gonzaga, which is number 21. And that's, you know, the Aztecs are, I'll tell you one thing. Brian Dutcher said, look, we know we have a good team.
Loved it.
I don't know what everybody else has got.
Right.
I just know we're good. And make no mistake about it, he loves this. Wouldn't you love this quietly, Tony, as a coach?
For sure.
You can put this up on every locker room all season long.
100%.
And not only that, a lot of these teams you play are on this list ahead of you. Number 12, UCLA, who they play in the scrimmage Friday night. Number 13, Arizona, is on the schedule. Number 7, Michigan, is on the schedule. So you're going to get a look at a lot of these teams. You're going to get a chance to prove it. And as usual, Mark Ziegler did a great story today, kind of a deep dive into the recent history of San Diego State basketball. And other than 2023, Tony, when they made the final game, they began that season 19th. Every other time, they've been 30-0 or Sweet 16, Kawhi Leonard, Xavier Thane, they were never ranked.
No.
So this is nothing new. Nothing new. Nothing's changed. But you think they would learn a little. But
no,
they haven't.
Clearly not.
Because I do understand that part of the frustration, and Dutcher did touch on it, or somebody did, and said, look, you do have to think that we would at least be getting the respect that what we've done is not an aberration anymore.
Right. Because that's how these rankings read every year when they come out.
Yeah, they come
outside of the 19th.
Yeah, you were great last year, but so what? Yeah.
No, I agree.
So, all right. That's that. I've been waiting with bated breath to hear your other candidate for Mike Schilt.
Thank you. It was from the chat. Don't remember who it was, but I kind of like this. Has no managerial experience. It goes against what I said earlier. Mark DeRosa. I guess he does. He's a Team USA World Baseball Classic manager.
I don't know. Mark wants to do it.
You don't know that he wants to do like a big
league? Look what he's on. He gets to do
the
USA
thing.
He gets
to rub elbows with Brian Kinney all the time. Hey, who would want to give that up?
got it pretty good.
He does. I mean, he's got a pretty good setup there. I believe he has a young kid playing baseball. So I'm sure that's, you know, that's the tough part about, you know, and we'll touch on it.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do before the end of the show. We got another hour, but I'm going to put the top 10 candidates in my mind together in descending order of who I think would be
descending.
Most
descending.
Well, starting with 10th, most okay. likely,
Connie Mack,
down to most likely. You're
Connie
such
Mack.
A jerk,
Joe Torre.
At least Joe Torre's alive, so I could conceivably
Mack.
Pick.
Wow.
Him.
I don't really know much about Connie Mack. I've just heard his name a million times.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that you don't know about, that you should know about Connie Mack. He managed so long ago that he wore a suit and tie
right.
in the dugout.
Really?
Yes. He did not even put a managerial
jersey on. He didn't have a uniform on.
Jersey on.
That is kind of crazy. How do you think the players feel today? I mean, I'm sure that they knew that he was going to make this.
I would imagine he
today.
Contacted them, but I'm sure they're surprised also. Yeah.
They loved him. I mean, he went to bat for them. He would stand up, and even if he looked a little crazy in the process, he didn't care.
Yeah, listen, Mike, you can say what you want. Mike may not have been the perfect manager, but there's one thing that is for certain is he protected those dudes under any circumstance. You could ask him the most obvious question about a player. If he felt like that was compromising said player in some type of way, you are not getting that question answered.
Yeah, the bunt culture going to go. It's great. You're happy about that, I bet.
Maybe that's a conspiracy. They were over bunt culture, and this was the only, and maybe they got into a big argument because he said, I would like to bunt. I'm just spreading lies at this point.
Yes, you are.
Bunt, number one, he bunted because they didn't hit home runs. Number two, if the Seattle Mariners could bunt, that 15-inning game on Friday night would have been over 5 innings before it was over.
Yeah, and Gilbert wouldn't be throwing on short days rest because of it.
Gilbert is struggling again in the second inning. Toronto's actually come back to tie this game 3-3, and they're trying to score more. But the bunt is a necessary part of baseball, and especially when you don't hit home runs. And there is another defense of Mike Schilt. Even
Cha-ching.
In his
man,
even
he won't even get it.
Even in his retirement, I'm defending Mike Schilt. So,
how crazy was that game on Friday night, though, between the Tigers and the Mariners?
That was nuts.
I
love
what we're talking about. Yeah.
I love it when baseball comes down to it, and they're like, okay, we need Logan Gilbert to come in the game, and then they needed Luis Castillo.
They just kept calling names because that's how you do a win or go home type scenario.
Yeah, Gilbert pitched in that game, and now maybe it's showing here in this game here. He's got Guerrero up with two on and a 3-3 tie, bottom of the second inning. Again, if the Mariners could have bunted, they could have ended it a lot earlier, but they couldn't bunt, and they couldn't get runners over in extra innings. And so it was fun. I think games like that are great. And I actually miss those games during the regular season. I know you don't, Tony, and I get it, because 162 games, game like that can wreck your bullpen for a while and, you know, cause a lot of havoc. But they're fun games to me. We miss those. What was the longest game of the regular season this year? 11 innings? Did anyone even go 12? Maybe one
I think
or two
was
games.
12.
Went 12.
It's not that I don't think they're fun. I just think the aftermath of it isn't worth fun game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. And then, you know, the Brew Crew ousted the Cubs on Saturday night.
Can we talk about... Okay.
What has got you perturbed now?
I saw PCA losing his mind on the field once again. And they go, oh, that's just PCA wearing his heart on his sleeve. When does it turn into you are... destructive when you are angry? When does it turn on someone? When is it no longer
cute?
Did
we talk about it on air?
No.
About the...
No.
Okay,
no.
Well, I witnessed how I think they feel about it. It was in the second game of that series against the Padres. He slammed his helmet down at one point, and it like rolled over into the corner, like near the Padres dugout. And you and listen, I've been on a team where guys have slammed their helmets too much, and the first base coach had to go like walk out to the outfield to pick it up, or it shattered, and he had to
pick up all the pieces.
They get to a point where. And they've probably let it be known, if you slam your helmet again, you're bringing your own helmet back. And sure enough, PCA slammed his helmet, and it was just spinning in the corner over there. Bat boy had to kind of run back out, and PCA was fuming.
That they didn't come get it. I mean, it's so
he
annoying.
Needs to grow up a little bit for sure.
A little bit.
But he's got an offseason to think about it now that the Cubs are eliminated. Guerrero grounded out. They're going to the third inning, tied at 3 in the American League. More Gwynn and Chris. We're going to the 3 o'clock hour.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.